my text this morning is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and chapter 4, and verse 11, the second half of verse 11. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm sure that as you and I read that verse or hear it as we hear it this morning, that there is a longing in our hearts and our souls that that always might be true in our lives as those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot help but admire what has happened to the Apostle Paul. Not only is he a believer, but he's also able to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How can a person always be contented? I say there are times when it's very difficult. There are circumstances that make it very hard for us to show and display Christian contentment in every appearance that is outward, and not only there, but also in our hearts and in our souls. And the secret here is found in all of the epistle, or the beginning of the secret, and that is that simple word, joy. The apostle had found out how he could always rejoice. And we mentioned before, I think, as we've looked at this epistle, that I've mentioned, that this word joy can be taken almost as a title for this book. And in one way, that's a little unfair, maybe, because there is a very wide range of topics in the epistle, and some very serious and sorrowful things are mentioned as well. And yet I would still say that joy is the key word here. And the comparison I had in my mind was something like this. Imagine that you are playing the piano, and you're having your first or amongst your first lessons. Then your teacher tells you, now, we're going to begin here. I want you to always recognize this note. Now, you know what it is, don't you? It's the middle C. So when that note is struck, you know that that's an important one. We will go from there. We start there. This where this note is dominant in our mind, middle C. Now, does that mean to say that every tune that we play, that every tune that we play will only be on one note? But it won't be. But we begin all our knowledge, as it were, from there. There are many notes. There will be many tunes. But somehow we come back to this middle C, this important note that we work from. And here is, in this epistle as well, there are many chords. There are many tunes. Beautiful and helpful and soothing ones. And rebuking ones as well. Every kind that you can think of. They are there. The middle C of this epistle is rejoicing and joy in the Lord. And if we understand that, that whatever tune we may be playing from the epistle, whatever chord or note may be struck, we will always remember that the middle C of the epistle to the Philippians is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's see how often it's struck. This has of interest. So let's look at the epistle. If you'd like to look with me. In chapter 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. It doesn't say what kind of request. Whether they be sad ones or if you're in trouble or happy ones, making your request with joy. Then verse 18 in the same chapter. And therein I do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. Then verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. In chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy. Then verse 28 in the same chapter. I thank him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, ye may rejoice. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown. And then verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Then verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Well, you might say, follow up on that and say, now look here. You must have had it very easy in your life. Everything must have gone your way. You lived probably a life of ease, never had any problems, plenty of servants to attend to your needs. You had it as easy as a person could ever have it. We know that's not true. The chapter, part of the chapter that I read at the beginning of the service, tells us something of a suffering by many stripes and woundings and humiliations and imprisonment and loneliness and abuse. All those things that he sometimes mentions that Paul suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. And he's writing this epistle in prison. He doesn't know what would be the ultimate there either. But he has the same word to say. And this is the word here. That I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And in that particular context, it tells us all his difficulties. But nevertheless, he says, difficult as it was, I still rejoice in the Lord. How much did you rejoice, Paul, in that difficult time you're going through? But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And this is what he wants us to know. You might say, well, the apostle is a man of great faith. However we may describe him, there is one thing is true, that if we had lived at that time and ever met the apostle Paul, I believe that we'd be able to say we met a very happy man. Yes, a truly happy man. Even when he had suffered a great deal and been misrepresented many times, all that, yet we would meet a very happy man. He would be full of the joy of the Lord, and he rejoiced always. That's the key note of the epistle. Although there are many tunes, there are many themes here, yet this major dominant note is the middle theme of the epistle to the Philippians, to rejoice in the Lord. Let's just now the context of the text that I have, because to be able to be content, there must be joy in my heart. In this immediate context here, we have mention of things. The first thought I'd like to bring to you is this, the care of things. The apostle was a very appreciative person. Now, I'm including myself here. What are we like? What are you like when you receive a gift from a friend or from a member of the family? Are we inclined to be like spoiled children and say, well, thank you, but I had hoped for something better? This is a warning for Christmas now, isn't it? I'm making it easy for any disappointed gifts you may have. And you might say to the giver something like this, well, it's all right, and you don't really thank them, and you don't show your appreciation. Listen to verse 10 of me. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful that you lacked opportunity. What is he saying? He is appreciative of the gift he has received from the church at Philippi and from the friends there. He's very appreciative of that. And yes, there was a period when he was in prison that he didn't hear from them. And he didn't receive a gift. And you might say something like this, well, why didn't he complain? No, he didn't complain. He knew the Philippians. He knew what they were like. And so he said to them, you would have given, I know what you are like. All that is wrong was this, you lacked the opportunity. You never had the opportunity to give. And so we have these very gracious and these very kind words. When nothing came, I knew that all was well because you didn't have the opportunity and it was difficult to get anything through to me. But when you are able to give, when you heard that I was in prison, then your love for me is flourished. That's a lovely word, isn't it? Look at the word with me in the verse again. Your care of me has flourished again. Now, it's a very special word. It's out like a flower. Suddenly it blooms and shows all its beauty and all its kindness, all its colors, and all its loveliness. It flourished for me. Now, there are times when we know that the conscience of a country can be awakened. There have been terrible events in the history of our little country. Not so very long ago, a few years ago, we knew of that terrible disaster in the little village of Aberfan. And when this was made known to people, not only in Wales, but all over the world, the care of people flourished for the little Syrian family in that little village. There are occasions that touch our hearts and touch our sympathy, and our care flourishes. Now it takes something like Aberfan for the care of the world to flourish. But it does not need that only for a Christian. A Christian will hear of the suffering of a fellow Christian, and his care for him will flourish. What are we like? I find here in the life of the apostle that he is a man who appreciates his friends, and he thanks them for their kindness. But I also learned something else also about the Philippian church. When they had a letter from him and learned that he was in prison, then they were concerned and they cared. I do believe that we are like that. If this morning that we should have a letter from a Christian friend, wherever he may be situated, and he was in trouble, and he read this letter publicly, that immediately our care might flourish in that direction, that our hearts might be overwhelmed, and that we might be willing to give. Yes,
Let's go. I'm not going to be able to do that.